good now? Is it good? You're going to stay. Okay.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for this day that you've made. We know you're still God among us. You say we're two or more are gathered together in your name. You are in the midst of us. So come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come and be in our midst. And so our coming will not be in vain. Speak a word for us. A word of love and a word of hope, a word of peace, and a word that sustains. Take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You know, sometimes you read the text. You hear the text and from the Bible, of course. When we were in seminary, we started calling the Bible the text. And I came from a little country church, and I would say, it's not the text, it's the Bible. Never looked at the Bible as a book. It was just the Bible, but the text. But when you read this text, this John text, it is hard to take, isn't it? The gospel text, you know, sometimes it may pose an unusual question for us. Even sometimes, folks may say it's offensive. Some folks get their back up with this eating the flesh and drinking of the blood. And Jesus would say things oftentimes that surprises us. And Jesus knew whom he was talking to, and he has left it here for us. Jesus is going to say in John 6, 56 to 69, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. And when he said those words, which is not what I'm preaching about today, but how could I ignore this wonderful text when he said those words? Scripture says, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? Do you know why they were saying that as I go to my main text? It was because they were Jewish believers, and many of them, almost all of them, and they remembered Leviticus, right? They knew the law, who said you couldn't do blood, you can't go near to blood, you can't mix meat, kosher and meat. I believe in Leviticus 17, 10 to 14, it says, if anyone of the house of Israel or the aliens who reside among them eats my blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut that person off from the people. So they knew that. They were, you know, their parents were Jews, and even though they were going to be changed to be Christians and accept Christ, they knew that. So they thought it was a little bit off, wasn't it? Leviticus 10, if you're checking your Bible, Susan. Right? 10 to 14. You know, when I give you a text and I give you the chapter and verse, you know that I'm sure. Sometimes I'm not sure, I'm guessing. I says, oh, I think it may be. And so these disciples heard that, and what? They got upset. And Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, he said to them, does this offend you? He asked the question. Jesus was bold, you know. Sometimes we think Jesus was a pushover. But he was bold. He says, does this offend you? And they were offended. You know, I say this morning to you, as I share this with you, the word of God will sometimes offend us based on our sensibilities, right, and our beliefs. But God is not worried about what offends us. Because at the end of the day, his love for us is about what? Giving us eternal life. Saving us from the consequences of sin and death. And sometimes, like a good parent, and many of us are a good parent, or we're trying to be at least, we have to do things sometimes that our kids don't like, don't we? We tell them something and they don't like it and they think it's a little bit crazy. I don't know about all the wonderful parents. I'm talking about me because I am known to do things and my daughter may think I'm a little bit crazy. But it has helped her. Many of the things she has got to know. So this word about the flesh and the best unusual text, right? And so the disciples, some of them got up and they wanted to leave and go home. And he says, because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Do you know, I've read the Bible so many times and I never saw that line till yesterday. That there were disciples, and I don't mean the 12, right? There are other folks who are following. It says, verse 66, because of this, John writes it. John Gospel tells us that. I don't think it's in the other Gospels, but John Gospels, and I really should take a look at this. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus then asked the 12, as he's asking us today, we have heard something unusual. Do you also wish to go away? Did you know he said that? Do you also wish? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And church, we don't always understand everything, do we? I'll raise my hand. We don't understand everything that's in the Bible and what is said. But we have come to believe. I've come to believe and trust God. Right? Don't always understand. So my text today is another text that is unusual. Because many of you have never heard. If you come out of a charismatic church or some other churches, you hear people say, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Has anybody ever heard that, put on the full armor of God? Who have heard it? Right? But many of you don't raise your hands because you don't know. Put on the full armor of God. Another unusual text, right, that we don't know, we always don't understand. So my sermon title, as I'm going to be focusing for that for a few minutes, I just wanted to take the gospel text to show you, to give you an understanding that there are things in the Bible we have to exegete, we have to read and reread, because it's not always to our sensibility, but it stands as the word of God. And all Jesus was trying to tell them there was, listen, I am going to represent the new covenant. That's really what it meant, right? It was the old covenant where it had laid down about the blood and so on. And Jesus was only telling them, something new is coming, a new dispensation. And I am going to represent that because I'm going to die for you. They didn't get it yet. They didn't get it then. We got it later because we got it after the fact. But they were surprised. And sometimes when a pastor, a new thing comes into a church, he says, I'm going to do something new. We're going to try something new. What happens? New dispensation. Some folks says, I'm not going to follow that. We've been doing it forever, haven't we? We're human beings. Right? We says, I'm not praise the Lord. To say praise the Lord, we're still working through brothers and sisters. I'm still calling y'all sisters and brothers, and some of you are saying, like my grandbaby, they're not our sisters. You know, she told me that thing that when we were in the supermarket and I called a woman, I said, oh, my sister, can I help you? You know, this lady, I was just called because the lady was waiting for me, and my grandbaby was with me, and she turned and she thinks sister means, and she says, Grandma, she's not our family. She's not your sister. When did you get a sister? Right? She's not Auntie Colleen. I says, no. She says, oh, no, she's not your sister. I don't know her. And everybody in the store started to laugh. I says, she's my sister in Christ. She says, in who? So, you know, because she's only six. So, you know what happens. You know, she says, in who? I says, well, I'm going to teach you. She's my sister. She couldn't get it. So we are like children sometimes with the text, right? I'm teaching her that. I told her mother teacher that we have lots of brothers and sisters because we're going to meet them in heaven. She don't have to worry about it, but I'm getting them all ready so we all could get there. So we all are, it's new to all of us at times. So today we're going to talk a little bit about fully clothed and ready. Fully clothed and ready. Did your mother ever say to you, cover up, put on clothes? Because everybody, you know, we're from the Caribbean. We used to run around naked sometimes when it's so hot. You know, half naked. Run out of the house half naked. We go to the beach half naked. Because we thought it was normal. Mother says, put on clothes. You're growing up, girl. Don't you see you're getting grown? Put on clothes. You know, we went to the beach in just little panties. I'm telling you the truth. I'm from the Caribbean. Think that they think it's a big deal. You know what I'm talking about. We put on, see what I'm saying? And some of us, we have one of the little panties, and we used to run to the thing in the little panties to the sea. We didn't think it was a big deal, my brother, me, and we just thought it was normal. And my mother would say, girl, don't you see you're growing, you're becoming a woman, put on clothes. Huh? I says, we have to put on clothes, because you know you start growing into womanhood. Well, now we're going into adulthood in the Lord. I didn't write this down, you know, it all just came out. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that is speaking. Fully clothed. Need to be fully clothed. Sometimes I have to pull myself in because my mind goes. Come on, Holy Spirit. Keep me focused. I don't want to go there anymore. So today the sermon title is Fully Clothed and Ready. And the text is talking about how we should be clothed. Not just with this kind of physical clothing that we wear, this apparel, but with the Spirit of God. Now let me read this quick reflection. It says it's called Lacking Full Armor, British Warships Sunk. British Admiral Lord David Beatty commanded a flotilla at the Battle of Jutland during World War I. As the battle began, British and German ships engaged each other long range. A heavy cruiser, the Lion, was hit by an artillery barrage and quickly sunk. Next, the other ship was hit in its powder magazine and blown to pieces. Then the Queen Mary was sunk, taking a crew of 1,200 sailors straight to the bottom. A flaw in the design of the ship was soon recognized. Though their hulls were heavily armored, their wooden decks offered almost no protection against enemy artillery and shells dropped from above. Only after the British began to armor their ships on top as well as on the sides did they stop losing ships to Germans' long-range artillery. Effective armor is a crucial element in spiritual warfare. So what happened with the ship? They had one section armored, but they didn't have the other section armored. And then guess what happened? When the shells start coming from the top, it impacted on the ship, and the ship fell. So my sisters and brothers today, my sermon title is Fully Clothed and Ready. Ready for what? Spiritual warfare. You know, Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and they're facing a lot of issues. And one of them is pagan worship, evil worship. You know, because they came out of the pagan world, right? These were non-Christians, a lot of them. And they were Jewish Christians, and then they were Gentiles who coming out of the pagan world, and a lot of evil worshiping of idols and so on. And they're facing something that we don't really understand. Lots of us who are not reading the Bible, you don't understand. We call it spiritual warfare, meaning that we're not really fighting against a human being, but the evils of the world that exist, right? Paul is saying that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says sometimes we're in argument with someone, and we're fighting and arguing with them, and it's not even them physically, it's something in them, something greater than, something that some people you say, why are they the way they are? What is going on? And so Paul is trying to say it's against what? Principalities and rulers and dominions in high places. Paul is saying we're wrestling against things that we don't understand and we can't see. This world is a mystery. There are things happening, and trust me, we know that there is evil in the world. Pick up Newsday or New York Times. There are people who have done some terrible things to each other. We cannot possibly, from a human standpoint, understand how someone could do that. It's got to be evil that has taken hold of them. Something that we cannot see or understand. A young man in an upscale neighborhood in the Midwest goes into a home. He's part of the family. And he stabbed 5 people to death. When I was in North Carolina, it was on the news. 19 times one person. His family members stabbed them to death. Maybe on drugs or whatever it was. Who knows? 2 of them. That is not normal. That is something beyond what one can imagine. The evil in the world. So Paul, in essence, in this text is saying, you put on. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. And put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's saying, we've got to be prayed up and covered up. You know you got to be prayed up, church. You know we don't have to wait till something happens and start to pray. People says, oh, I need a prayer for this. I'm looking for a job. I need a prayer. My daughter needs a husband. I need a prayer. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever. I'm not picking on anybody's daughters. You know, I've been praying for one. And Helen says she needs a husband. She's been praying. She tells everybody. I took her to a church up in Hartford. She told the pastor she's looking for a husband. I says, are you going to tell everybody? Yeah. Right? So we're praying and seeking God. We have to be prayed up all the time for the things that come our way, because it builds strength. So Paul began by this armor. You know what the armor is. In those days, Paul is using an imagery of those days. Maybe Paul was preaching now, he would say something else, because they're not wearing body armor to war now. Right? These texts are written based on the historical location and time, right? Because they're used to with the helmet and the body armor and a sword. Have you ever look at the soldiers? You look at Ben-Hur on one of those movies, right? And they have on the shoes that are strapped on the Romans, right? They're protecting the whole body, and then they have their sword. It wasn't spiritual, but they were protecting themselves. So Paul knows that the church at Ephesus knows that. There is writing in that time, and we can equate it to our life. So he starts speaking about what they should put on. And on the front of the bulletin, I gave you a picture, because we don't have this, a picture of the body armor, right? You see a picture of the body armor, a full armor, see? The full armor of God. And they show you and explain to you what it means. And I'm going to just talk about them a little bit so we could understand what the full armor is, and just briefly, that you want to be covered up. I want to start in an order, sometimes not as the text as the order. The text has the order in a different way. They don't start with salvation first. But I want to begin with the head covering. The first thing I think is important for us believers is to what? The helmet of salvation. Right? I think the helmet of salvation is the first part. I don't care the order of the other one. What does it mean, the helmet of salvation? It means for us that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Right? You can't put on an arm if you don't believe in the Lord. Because he's going to be fighting the battle for us. Do you see my point? It's no use you not believing in him and want him to fight the battle for you. And only when you're in trouble you need him to fight the battle. That's why sometimes I don't think he shows up. That's not true. He always shows up. He's better than me. Because if he didn't believe in me, I wouldn't show up. But he's better than me. Lord knows. Thanks be to God that you're better than me, Jesus. So the anything is, he wants you want to put on the helmet of salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That he died for our sins, and that he rose again. And because of that, we have the hope of eternal life. So once you put that on, many of us do. The kids are confirmed. They accept Christ for themselves. Many of us have been baptized. We've all been baptized. And if you're not, you can't be baptized. Infant baptism, adult baptism, confirmation. We've been coming to church. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know that little song says, yes, Lord, to your will and your way. Yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I don't know everything. I don't understand it all. I don't know what I can't figure it all out. It's a big Bible, but there's something about your name. There's something wonderful about your name, Lord God. The songwriter says, Jesus, Savior, there is something about that name. Have you ever just called on the name of Jesus and feel good? Hallelujah. The songwriter says, here we come to worship him. There is something majestic about that name. Folks have tried to negate it and destroy it for over 2,000 years. And my brothers and sisters, I come to tell you today, you and I are going to die and they're still going to be calling on the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the scripture says. It's going to happen. I'll be gone and they'll still be calling on Jesus. ISIS will be gone and some other group will get started and we'll still call on the name of Jesus because he's Lord. He's Lord. He has risen from the dead and he's Lord. Oh, praise God. So we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Do you know? Have you accepted him today? And if you have not, you just say yes to him. He doesn't ask much. So first we want to be able to do that. That's why you're here this morning. You believe. And then there are the other pieces of it. The belt of truth around your waist. What does the belt of truth, you know, when you put something around your waist, it's to hold up something. You know, hold up your pants, right? Hold up your skirt. Hold up your pants. So when we put the belt of truth, we're holding ourselves up because we are putting on the belt of truth, the truth of the word of God that we believe. Right? So the belt of truth is saying, I'm going to put this thing around my, I'm going to believe. Right? I'm going to believe that he's God. That belt that girds me and holds me up when I'm getting doubtful. You know, when you're getting doubtful, you know what a belt can keep it in. Some of us are wearing the belt. We can't get the belt around anymore. We keep putting bigger holes. You know what I'm saying? We keep stretching the truth. some of us are stressed. You know I was going to go there, right? The moment I think it, I'm going to go there. I didn't think it till just now, right? Some of us will start stretching the truth. We start putting the hole further and further out. You better get it back to where it belongs. That's right, the belt of truth, right? And believe. Some of you believe when you were children. You believe all these years in the church. All of a sudden we get lots of education, lots of money. And we start saying, oh, this God thing? So we start putting another hole in the belt. Huh? The belt start getting loose until something happens and they diagnose us with something you can't pronounce. All of a sudden you try to pull the belt back again, right? The belt of truth around your waist. Paul didn't say it, but I'm giving you a modern understanding. I'm helping Paul. Right? The belt of truth. And then the breastplate of righteousness, right? Is to cover. You know what the breast, I thought about this. What does the breastplate do, church? Covers where? One of the key organs. The heart. The key organs, right? The heart. Because if it starts pumping blood, you know, when they listen to it, and they says, oh, it doesn't sound right. Or whatever, you start. The EKG says, oh, God, am I dying now, right? So that is a wonderful part of the body. This is where our love comes out of and our following Christ. So we want to protect what? Our heart. We want to protect that heart to serve Christ. That heart. That place where love comes from. The love of God in Christ Jesus. That place where we receive love. Not only do we give love out of our heart, we receive love, don't we? When we receive love, it comes, it touches that organ, the heart. That emotion. Emotion. The heart is the seat of our emotion and our feelings. And when we says, I love you, Lord, and we sing a song, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet sound in your ear. It's what? It's coming out of what? The heart. The heart, right? That heart that says, I love you, Lord. Have you ever just tell the Lord you just love him? Sometimes I get up and I just says, oh, Jesus, I know you're here. I just love you, Jesus. You are the lover of my soul. You have never disappointed me. You're just so wonderful, Jesus. You never divorced me. I've been there, done that, so I know it can be tacky. Lord, you're so wonderful and so awesome, and I love you. Comes out of the heart. We want to protect it from negative feedback and negative stuff. And there are people around us that are sometimes toxic. You know, we got to run from toxic people. That's why we've got to put on the whole breastplate. The armor, the full armor of God. You've got to be running, covering up from toxic people who will destroy your faith and mess with your life and just keep you downtrodden and keep you broken and unhappy. Do you know those people? Run from them, I'm telling you. Put on, cover up. And then he says, the gospel of peace. Right? You put it on you know, the gospel of peace in times of trouble. And we find the gospel of peace where? On your feet. Walk in peace. Right? The gospel. Know the gospel. And a simple gospel. You're not going to know scriptures like I do or somebody else. There are people who know scriptures much more than I do. But we know the gospel of peace comes from when we say, the peace of the Lord is with you. The peace of Christ is with you. The gospel, you know the gospel in your own way. And this gospel is the gospel of peace. Jesus came with the gospel of peace to give love. He came to give love and to give peace. He says, I'll give you peace, not that the world know it, but that peace that surpasses all understanding. So it's important to read the Bible. It is important to know the gospel. So now guess what? We put on the helmet. Look at us. We have on the helmet because we have accepted Christ. We have on the breastplate. A heart that is sold out for Christ and full of love for our brothers and sisters. We've on the gospel of peace, and the gospel of peace allows us to go out into the world and to do mission, to serve our community, because we believe in Jesus Christ. We have shod our feet with the gospel of peace so we could feed the sick, we could visit the sick, go to prison, huh? And tell them, and when they say, why are you coming? We says, we're coming because of Jesus Christ, right? We do our fellowship because we are on the gospel. So we are ready for what? Spiritual warfare. We got our feet. We need a couple more things, don't we? Got our head protected. Our heart protected. Our feet. We are standing firm. Paul is going to say stand firm. So we are standing firm as we bring it home here now. And then he says, and the shield of faith. Right? It's not in that yet. The shield of faith. We've got to have the shield of faith. Do you know why? Because we've got to believe. The shield of faith says, no matter what the circumstance, I believe. Because our faith gets shaken all the time, doesn't it? Anybody here, faith has ever been shaken? Things happen, your faith gets shaken. Shield of faith, you've got to put it on and says what? For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We believe, no matter, we don't believe in that we are going to get every circumstance in our life is going to be perfect. No, we know that there's ups and downs and trials, but we believe that there's a God who's going to be with us through our circumstances. And that faith gets attacked all the time in the world. Right? People trying to tell us that, why are you here on a Sunday? What are you doing? Faith to believe in this God thing? Who is this God thing? What is this God thing? But yet we believe because we have a testimony. You know, we have a testimony about what God has done in our lives. So we put on faith. We've got to have faith. Got to have faith believing in Jesus Christ. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so Paul is reminding us that, you see this word? Whether we like it or not. If we're going to be fighting spiritual warfare, we can't live without it. It's called the Bible, the text, the book, whatever they want to call it. They've talked about it, says it's not current, says it's whatever. It is inspired word of God, inspired through human being. God spoke to them, and they put the word down, and it has last for a long time. It's the bestseller of all times. Do you know that? Bestseller. It has knocked off New York Times. They don't even keep track of it anymore. People go to prison and get a Bible. I was just at a function the other day, a big leadership thing, and they're showing criminals, hardened criminals in jail that they have started prison ministry, and how this Bible and one word in there from the Lord have changed their life. Hearing that God loves them. And he says they need the Spirit. The word of God, right? We need that. Without that, it says the sword of the Spirit. Because, listen, my brothers and sisters, you don't even have to know the Bible in its entirety. Something happens and sometimes you just need to find a psalm. Do you know that? One psalm. One psalm, you get to it and sometimes you turn a page and you just start reading and that one psalm touches your heart. You begin to read. You see something that says, oh Lord, you are my God, will you forget me? As I weep on my bed, one of David's Psalms, I call on your name, Lord. You read it and tears come to your eyes. As you're getting older, you look at Psalm 23, and you don't have to know it by heart. You got your little Bible to the Psalms. Some of the books they give out the New Testament and the Psalms. And you go to something like Psalm 23, and that's all you need, or Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Come on, church. My help cometh from the Lord, who knows heaven and earth, huh? He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep. You're going through something, and that's all you need to know, that there's a God who is up 24/7. Ah, he's an on-time God, yes he is, and it sustains you, right? But we have to read it so we could know where to find some of the stuff, and if you don't, you just always go to the Psalms. I always tell people when you're starting out, or one of the Gospels. Or as you're getting older, we remember Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because you remember that he had brought you through so much. And so you remember this word. And that's what Paul is telling them. And Paul says, after you have now dressed for war, for spiritual warfare, you're now dressed, you stand. And you stand firm. What does it mean? Even when your knees are shaking, you stand. Because the songwriter says, my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. So you begin to stand. You get a bad news from the doctor, you begin to stand, right? Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. The promise that he's going to be with you. The promise that he's going to answer our prayer. The promise that no matter what happens, he's going to bring us to the valley of the shadow of death. We begin to stand. At our revival, as I come to a close, and you know, we were dancing, and so a couple of the pictures I put online. But there was my colleague who came down. I didn't know they were coming. Came from upstate New York. And her husband, he's 70-something, in his 70s, I believe, maybe 78 or 77. And I did not know this because we have been busy traveling. But they came all the way down, and I said, you came for the revival? And she came with two other people from Poque. They came from Pauline Poque, upstate. So it must take them a couple of hours to get here at a minimum. And then she came up and she held my hand and she says, Marjorie. And I know the husband, he's a lawyer by trade, but has served the church well. He has done prison ministry and all of that. Give up his resources, but of his time when he can, he is a patent lawyer. And she said to me, do you know that Bob had a heart attack? I says, he did? You did? She says, it happened last week. And I came all the way down. I want you to pray with us, that we could pray together, not just. He says he wanted to be here because they say one of the arteries are 88-something percent and they're thinking about operation and whatever. And she was scared, you, like we all would be. What did we do, the church? What did we do? And she told me, I said, let Bob sit here for a minute, because he had been on the prayer line. And we brought him up and he knelt down. And there were three pastors. Zamzam was here. And I called them all up and we laid hands on him. Do we know what God is going to do? But do you know what made him feel? We laid hands on him and we prayed in the name of Jesus. We put on our faith. We picked up our faith. And we believed, and I prayed to God and reminded him how faithful he had been, God, to your work. I says, you know, when we handed him over to Bob, we prayed, and that man, tears filled his eyes, that here was the church, and all the people were here when Bob got up. I told them, because they saw us praying in the midst, we prayed on the prayer line. And I said to the congregation, point your hand towards him and says, heal him, Jesus. And everybody in the church who was able did it. Do you know how it made that man feel? He says it touched him more than any medicine to know that there were those who would pray for him. That's why we put on our full armor of God. Because we're ready at all times to say a prayer. We're ready at all times to read a word. We're ready at all times to tell somebody that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, and that heaven is a free gift. All of us are welcome to come. Heaven, freely given, paid by the blood of Jesus, ransom, so that we can be free. Oh, glory to God. And because of that, we have no fear, but we have the hope of eternal life. So my brothers and sisters, get fully clothed. Fully clothed and ready. And yes, Dick, don't push the belt hole too far. I saw you. Let's pull it tight and trust in the Lord. Amen. 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 Let us now stand as we sing our response.